This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. What up, H-Town? Hey!
That was therapeutic, the first couple hours of the show. As we kind of got off our chest, a lot that was emotionally brewing with us about what happened yesterday to Kobe Bryant allowed you to do the same thing, and hopefully you guys can appreciate that. As we said, hour number three, we'll try to get back to what we do on a daily basis.
Having a little more fun.
Indeed. So with that being said, you brought a little extra something to the house this weekend, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. The wife and I got a new kitty.
A putty tat.
Yeah, a new putty tat.
You brought a little putty. Almost, you brought a little putty into the house.
Got some fresh.
Fresh putty in the house.
Got some fresh cat at the house. You know, after we lost our second cat a few months ago, the wife was pretty sad about it. I was sad about it. And I thought, well, we'll see how it goes. We babysat the cat that crapped on my pillow. And despite that, still wanted to get another couple animals. So, you know, the cat we got, and now got to build this fence, and then I'm getting my dog, and we're set. I'm a little disappointed, though. So the cat is so cute. Great, great cat. We had found it. We got him at the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. We had went there to look at this other cat, and then this very large, loud woman. We had went to go see this cat that was white. Right, this just, and that's not racist. It's just that's what
kind
it was.
Of is. But go ahead.
It was a white cat. Well, you know, I mean, I didn't want to have to deal with all the looks out in public and the questions of, oh, did you know? I mean, we're not Brad and Angelina, so we got a white cat. Okay. So, we're there and we're like, oh, this is the cat we wanted to see. And this very large, loud woman just shoved us aside. I was like, that's the cat I want. And Nora and I were like, wow. Well, we're just. And the shelter is first come, first serve. They don't hold animals. They don't do any of that. You walk up. You want the cat. You take the paper. You go to the front. It's your cat. You pay the $20. And so we were looking at it, and Nora was like, it kind of looks scared. I was like, well, probably thinks it's going to get eaten when it gets home if this lady gets it. And this lady was like, the guy was like, well, ma'am, do you want to hold the cat? I don't need to hold it. That's my cat. How do I get that cat? And Nora was like, I'm just not even going to argue with this lady. I'm not going to. So Nora turns around, and there's this little cat behind us. Just cute, just playing. And Nora's like, well, just look at this little fella. And he wasn't on the website. He wasn't anywhere, right? And so I look at the thing, and it says adopted and adoptable. I was like, well, what the hell does that mean? We're obviously in Montgomery County. The words, they don't use big words in Montgomery County. So I was like, this is weird. So I asked the guy, and you know, he said, oh, that just, let me go check. And so he goes to check, and I'm playing with the cat, and he's having a great time. He literally climbs the cage upside down, which I was like, well, that's a neat trick. Dude comes back. He goes, yeah, he just got neutered, and you know, somebody was going to come back and adopt him, but they're not here yet. I was like, well, that's our cat now. Took it out of the cage, and Nora held it. She was like, this is the one. She just knew. Like, he just immediately fell asleep in her arms. We were like, put a bow on it. We're going to take this one home. And so we're driving home, and Nora's like, well, what are you going to call it? And I was like,
male or female?
Male.
Barry.
We're back.
Listen. Okay. If he was fat, maybe. But he's not fat yet, so we're not calling it Barry, all right? And he's not shaped like a light bulb. We're not calling it Nick.
Felix?
No. I wanted to call it Fidel Castro.
How did I not suggest that?
That's so awesome.
That is kind of funny.
I was like, can we call him Fidel Castro?
And she was like, no, probably.
She was like, absolutely not.
That's it is a great name.
That's fantastic.
I thought so. I was like, yo, you know, because he had like, he's like a tabby, like a gray, blackish, like, you know, stripes. But then he's got, his legs are white, all white. So she was like, let's call him Boots. I was like, okay, Miss Cliche. Why don't we settle down a little bit? Mittens and boots and socks and get out of here with all these whack ass honky. These are all honky names. Okay, this is what a honky would call his cat. Let's call it Boots. Be a Mexican, please. No, no Mexican calls their cat Boots, woman. What are you doing? So she was like,
be a Mexican.
She was like, well, okay. And I was like, how about Fidel Castro? And she was like, no, maybe Fidel. I was like, if it's not Fidel Castro, we're not doing it. Not just Fidel.
Yeah, but it could be Fidel Castro. You just call it Fidel. You're not going to run around the house going, right. Fidel Castro, I wanted it to get
be,
in here.
Well, I would. But I wanted it to be Fidel Castro Labanac. Like, his middle name was Castro. But she was like, well, let's just call him Fidel. I was like, no. You got to have the Castro. That's the whole point. So she's like, I was like, whatever. It's your cat. You're not naming my dog. I damn sure ain't going to name your cat. You.
So it's Boots.
Whatever. No. So worse. Worse.
Bootsy?
Worse. So then she's like, well, what about Winslow? I was like, you want to name it after the fat cop on Family Matters? She was like, oh, I didn't. But I was like, I kind of like Winslow. I mean, that's kind of funny for a cat.
It's better than Boots.
Yeah. So then she comes. So we're getting ready to leave to go get some lunch or what. And she walks out. She goes, I got it. Oliver. I was like, oh, I didn't know the cat was gay. Okay. So we got a gay cat. We got to call him Oliver. She was like, that's not a gay name. I was like, Oliver Winslow? That's a gay cat.
Or a rich cat.
Yeah, kind of, right? So his name's Oliver Winslow. That's what we went with. And he's super cool, though. Awesome. I love him to death. He's so fun.
Well, good
he's
deal.
He's running around like crazy and freaking out and attacking stuff. And yeah, he's super cool. And when he goes to the bathroom, he screams the whole time. So I don't know what's wrong with him on the inside. I got to go get him checked out. But he just sits there when he pees and screams. And I'm like, well, that's supposed to happen when you're 80, not when you're 7 weeks old.
Or when you've been a little too active.
That's true. But yeah. He's 7 weeks old, so we're...
Well.
And I told her, I was like,
The first six might have been a little bit more.
So I was like, okay, you got your cat. Now we're going to get this pool put in and a fence, and Daddy's going to get his Doberman. That's next on the agenda.
Evidently, Barry has big plans for the show taking off even more this year.
No, I mean, the pool's been in the works.
Okay.
But the fence, I don't know how much an iron fence, because I can't have a regular wood fence. Because I'm on a corner lot in our neighborhood, they don't allow you to have a wood fence.
Really?
It's the dumbest thing ever.
It is weird.
We have the stupidest rules in our neighborhood. So I've got to go out and get an iron, you know, just a
rod iron or whatever.
Yeah. So you can see through. So you want to see the trees in the yard? This is so dumb. You can't see the trees over a 4 foot. Anyways, I got to go get an iron fence, and then it's Doberman time. And I'm so pumped about it. I can't wait to get this dog. The cat is cool, though. I love him. We're playing and having a good time, and he fell asleep on my chest this morning, so that was cool. He's good to go. 7 weeks, wired, so yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool.
That's awesome. Yep. And you had some shows this week.
I did. I did have some shows this weekend, and I do want to give a shout-out to all of the suspects that showed up. Now, I started a list, and then I realized, one, I'm going to miss some names. Mm-hmm. And two, there was a lot of suspects that came out this weekend.
That's
I had two
great.
Different shows at two different venues. One was at Backfish Brewery in Pasadena on Friday. A lot of listeners came to that. And then on Saturday, I was at Fusion in Pasadena. A lot of listeners. I mean, probably 40 or 50 combined between the two. Lots of them. And so I just want to say to everybody out there that came to a show, thank you. I really appreciate the turnout. I was overwhelmed and very thankful for everybody that showed up.
That's fantastic.
So much love to all the suspects that came out, all the ones I had never met before, all the ones that I did have met several times. I mean, I know Walt and Mark Schell, and like I said, there's a list of 1,000 names. 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many it was. It was a lot. And I was overwhelmed and very, very pleased and appreciative of all the support. So thanks to everybody. And I'll tell you the story in the next segment about how I almost fought the DJ.
So let me get this straight.
I mean, I didn't almost fight him, but I got very angry.
Nick.
But I didn't almost fight him. Not like the French dudes at Starbucks.
Yeah.
This is just me. I got very angry on stage.
So
I'll tell the story.
We need the story because
we didn't almost fight.
Nick
I was exaggerating.
Have to determine if we're right again that we have to add this episode to all the long laundry list of episodes where you're going to get shot because you just continue to fight.
I did call him a name you're not supposed to say on stage into the microphone, and I'm not going to say it on the show.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I'll tell you what. No, I'm not. What am I, that lady in L.A.?
Yeah. Now there's a petition to get her fired, too, by the way.
We need to talk about that. Yeah, I have thoughts that well. On that.
Yeah. All right. We'll roll through the final hour of the show, continuing to kind of loosen the mood up a little bit more after the first two hours on Kobe. But you're welcome to join us. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Football Hall of Fame, Mike Rozier, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Rolling through the final hour of the show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you taking us along for the ride, wherever you may be in the big city on this Monday. Again, we take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7, so just be on the alert that Fred, AJ, Aaron, they'll be here from 4 to 7. And if you missed any portions of our show today or you always want to catch up on things, ESPN975.com is the website. At the top of the page, you click on the tab for The Usual Suspects. You can catch up on the first couple hours of the show. Then you can also, on the front page, download the app, take us anywhere, everywhere, never miss another show.
Do it.
Correction. Joel was indeed right.
Uh-oh.
Don Lucas did not coach LeBron James,
boy.
So I stand corrected. I wanted to clarify that because we talked about that about 30 minutes.
Corrected. Okay. You corrected the correction, correcting the correct.
I complicated the entire situation.
Way to go.
Just stop it. Joel was right.
Lauren Pulp.
So Lauren floats at the top of orange juice.
Lauren Pope said, oh, our cute fluffy cat that you met at the West is called Oliver. You put some respect on his name. On Twitter, and I replied, oh, my God, that's great. We both have gay cats. How sweet. That's Oliver. Yeah.
We'll call her OJ Lauren going forward.
Right?
Lauren Pulp.
So this weekend, the shows at the brewery went great.
Yeah.
Lots of fun there. And then the shows at Fusion were great, too. The lineup was outstanding. We had a great time. But the guy that was featured for me, Nathaniel Amador, who we played clips from on Friday, great set. He murdered the room. It was awesome. But at one point during a set, actually at three different moments in a set, they had a live DJ there. And at one point during a set, you just heard, bam, like this music just went off. I was like, what the hell? What the hell was that? Just right in the middle of a joke. Bam! I was like, man, that was weird. About 5 minutes later, he's doing a joke. Bam! I was like, yo, this DJ keeps accidentally either potting up the music or hitting play. Or he just, like, it's a little stab of music. And then
he wasn't doing it purposely to the comedian.
I don't know. I think he was queuing stuff up or doing things. But then he got bam! And then he did it a third time to Nathaniel. And I was like, okay, what is this damn DJ doing? So then Nathaniel gets off and they bring me up and I'm doing my set, and about, I mean, literally 35 minutes into a 45 minute set, I'm doing this like a 5 minute joke, and the setup is really, really important to the joke. So I start the setup, and right in the middle of a moment where I'm supposed to pause for effect and everything else, it's quiet and bam. I was like, no. Now, you're not going to do this to me. I was like, what the hell was that? Are you even paying attention? What kind of DJ are you that you can't control your own equipment? Like, what is going on right now?
Ooh.
And so the crowd gets me. I was like, do you mind? So we go. We're getting ready. And I'm down to my last joke. I'm getting ready to get off stage. And right even before I could say one more joke, I tell a joke. It gets quiet. And then when I go up on stage, you know, sometimes if there's a DJ or music, they'll say, what do you want to go up to? What song do you like to go up to? I like to go up to Eric B. and Rakim's I Ain't No Joke, because I love Eric B. and Rakim. I love that song. Plus comedy. So, So I tell the joke. Laughter. It starts to die down. All of a sudden, I ain't no joke. The music starts again. I was like, all right, what kind of raggedy-ass DJ did y'all hire? And I may have called him the R word. I may have said, look, I don't know how much this R-worded DJ cost you.
Boy.
I was so mad, and I thought, why'd you just say that out loud into a microphone, bro? You can't use that word. I was like, why? What? So I maybe crapped on him for like Two more minutes straight? I don't know. It felt like a long time to hate on someone you're working with. I wasn't working with him. No, we were not partners.
Kind of.
He was working against me. Every time I tried to tell the joke, bam! No, we were. And so I felt bad, called him the R word.
Could have at least done it in French.
Picked on him a little. True.
Right?
Picked on him a little more. And then got off stage. I was like, boy, I really feel bad because I don't use that word on stage. Although, I mean, I wouldn't be ashamed to if it was part of the joke.
Right.
But I've never just called someone that word, and I felt bad afterwards. But I didn't go apologize to him because screw that guy.
Did he come at you?
No. No, he didn't. He had to set up for the next. They were having, you know, just a club night or whatever.
Well, you knew that setup was going to suck.
But, yeah. But Nathaniel goes, bro, last time I worked with this dude, he did the same thing. So it wasn't on accident.
Well, what is he just, doing?
Is he not using his headphones?
I don't know. That's what I think it is. He's queuing up stuff and not using his headphones or forgetting. Or he's just the R word. I don't know. I was so angry. And then I was like, bro, what? He goes, I don't know, man. He did that last time I worked with him. So I was just trying to ignore it and get through it because I didn't want to go at him and ruin the crowd for when you went up there. I was like, well, I felt bad afterwards, but I didn't go apologize. And then so later online, somebody tagged all of us like, hey, great show. It was a lot of fun. The guy that did the show. And I told him, hey, tell the DJ I'm sorry. I called him the R word. Now I'll apologize.
Was that what he's doing during the set? He was just yelling into the mic intentionally to ruin your set? I love that song. It's not going away. Sorry, Chris. Sorry.
People love it, too. It cannot. It's a staple. It's not going away.
Yeah, it's so good.
I just thought you were going to do your little French cussing routine to get mad at him.
He wasn't French.
But at least he wouldn't have understood instead of you calling him the R word.
I felt bad. I really did, because I don't use that word.
However, I'm not ashamed, but
I just don't use that word. And so the heat of the moment got me a little bit. I felt bad.
What's wrong with 2020 and you're turning over a new leaf? I mean, you would never be this sensitive about saying any kind of word.
Oh, no, I would. There are a lot of words I won't say. Like that lady on, what was it, MSNBC?
Yeah.
Where she said Los Angeles, and it sounds like she said the N-word.
Right. Now, did you see her explanation?
I was going to say this. To me...
It was actually a pretty good explanation.
I didn't see her explanation, but this is what it sounded like to me. Before I even know what the explanation is, because I didn't... Like, two or three people tagged me on the video. I watched it, and I went, ooh, that sounded bad. Mm-hmm. Several things, though. You guys know as well in this business, sometimes you get tongue-tied. It happened. I went to say shot clock and left the L out and clock. And so we had to dump it. I was like, just dump it. It's easier. But it wasn't. I wasn't intending to say that word.
Right.
When you messed up pronounce the other day, you were like, well, I don't know what you said, but yeah, you said pronounce. Nick needs to learn how to pronounce things, and that was funny. But you just got tongue tied. I think
like a croissant.
Well, that was
your vocabulary is just not comparable to mine.
Comparable. It's not comparable.
It's comparable. Yeah.
So. I think that she added an N instead of an L to Lakers. She said Nakers, but she said it really fast. Now, in your head, if you're driving around, turn your sound down and just say that word really fast. Say Lakers, but with an N. Nakers. Say it fast.
Not going to do it.
And tell me that that doesn't sound like it. That's what I think happened.
Now, Nick, I don't know if
she's a racist hoe and should be fired.
But
one of the two.
She said, essentially, because of the fact that at the Garden they honored Kobe outside and inside as well, that she combined the N of Knicks when trying to say Lakers.
And then
was very emphatic about saying, and in no way, shape, or form did I say the N word.
And I tend to believe her, which was my exact theory.
Me too. I tend to believe her too. But here's the tweet as it reads exactly from her Twitter account. Earlier today, while reporting on the tragic news of Kobe Bryant's passing, I unfortunately stuttered on air, combining the names of the Knicks and the Lakers to say, quote unquote, Nakers. Please know I did not and would never use a racist term. I apologize for the confusion this caused. And it's still getting liked and retweeted.
Can you say that C word again, please?
Confusion.
When I first heard it, when someone first played it for me, that's exactly what I heard was what she said. I heard Lakers with an N. But then someone else played it for me, and I thought, ooh, I heard the N-word.
It's easy to kind of misconstrue what she said.
So I heard both, but I really believe, and again, in this business where we talk for 3 hours straight and you flub your word sometimes, and it sounds like you said something you didn't.
I don't. You guys do.
And it sounds, I sympathize, I understand, and I sympathize with her because there by the grace of God goes I, it could happen to any of us. And you know what? On this station, it has happened where people have been accused of saying that word.
That's right. Yep.
And if you know the guy,
I know exactly
you
what
know,
yep. Yep.
There's no way that that dude would ever say something like that. He may make jokes. He would not say that. I believe her.
Here's the other one, too.
I believe her.
The because of the fact that we don't often have these stunning breaking news situations that are of this magnitude, and some of these people that might not any way, shape, or form be the person that the news desk is going to assign to breaking news with serious details in the balance and a lot of information to be said. The same could be said of the people representing the sheriff's department and the fire and rescue yesterday in Calabasas County, because I believe it was the fire chief got put on the spot to describe how they went about the rescue efforts.
Uh-huh.
And at one point he says, of the 9 survivors, all of them perished.
Yeah.
And people were just quick roasting to say, him. Survivors and perished. And Lisa was quick to, we caught it at the same time. El Jefe pointed it out. Some other people were tweeting. I was like, whoa, time out. Let's give the guy the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
That's Calabasas not his, County is not normally. It's a
like
very
Montgomery
upscale,
County. They don't have words.
No, Calabasas County is more like River Oaks.
Oh.
On a,
they
on a,
pay
on
other
a,
people
on a
to
beach,
talk for them.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. They get things about, their main stories legally are probably jaywalkers as opposed to like big time stories like this. And the guy was like, every news service in America had a camera and a mic on him. And he's never done that before. So you got to
get it. Yeah, I totally get it.
It's easy for people to pick apart a situation when right. It's that disastrous.
Exactly.
And then say, you didn't do this right. You didn't handle this situation right. Like we were talking about it with Dell, and they were saying that I guarantee you there's going to be an article that comes out about whether or not Adam Silver handled this situation correctly. And I'm like, dude, if he didn't cancel, you had a 3-4-5 hour window of opportunity to make a big decision.
You got ticket holders? I mean, like,
I'm not going to kill him for not making any money decisions.
Vendors.
What is the average attendance to an NBA game?
It's between 15,000
maybe.
Now you got to coordinate that over how many games yesterday to tell all of them come back on another day, refund their money, and then have to resell. Bro,
my point is, even if it was the right decision, you're asking him to make a massive decision in a very tiny window.
And the window's a lot tighter than you think. Remember that now. 1 o'clock Pacific, 1 o'clock our time, which was 11 Pacific. Mm-hmm. Rockets and Nuggets tipped off 2 o'clock our time, which was 1 o'clock. They had about an hour.
Yeah.
And you got vendors in the building, people parking cars, people get taking tickets.
Yeah,
people
get there early.
Do the best to get things right. She obviously, feel like she fumbled. Her name is Allison Morris, right? Feel like she fumbled her words. And you know what?
At first I was like, ooh, but then the more I thought about it.
There was a game I wanted to introduce. I've done it once.
Okay.
Like a feature segment that I wanted to do on the show.
Okay.
And we've done it before where I played a clip from a hip-hop song or a song, and I was like, guess what this person said. And y'all both said something different.
Okay.
And remember the other time when we played that game?
Yes.
Before, like weeks before I did that.
Laurel and Yanni.
And all of us were hearing something different.
Yeah.
So when it's something quick like that and there's not really any context that suggests she is being racist.
Yep.
Just
agree.
Give them the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right. 30 minutes to go when we get back with the show. We're going to take a quick break. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Obviously, we did it a little differently today, and we all feel like it was the right thing to do. And hopefully you do too, because a lot of the feedback we got from you guys was just the appreciation of us being able to keep it real and let you have a chance to chime in about the tragedy yesterday with Kobe Bryant. As quotes and comments and things are still filtering in, and they will, and obviously we'll still have to deal with what actually happened with the helicopter. I got to believe the funeral is going to be at Staples Center, right? The public one?
Because you think so?
I think Michael Jackson's funeral was huge, but I think in L.A., Kobe Bryant's funeral will be just as big.
I could see that.
Yeah, I really think it's going to be massive.
It's going to probably there'll probably be a really good broadcast covering it as well, I would imagine.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big deal. I would think several people will go live and cover the entire ceremony. And again, you talk about the fact that David Stern just had his funeral less than 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was a who's who. But I was thinking about it yesterday, based on all the people, the quotes that were coming in and continue to come in from players and entertainers and all these different people, you got to believe that you have to have a venue that big, and a lot of massive names are going to be coming to wherever it is to pay their final respects.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
He touched so many different people. And you start right there in LA, Ice Cube talking about, you took my little brother, you took my guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you think about from the basketball world alone and the greats of all time, obviously LeBron's going to want to be there. And Michael's going to, I would think Michael's going to be there.
Michael, Magic, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, the greats that play now, the greats that are retired, they're all going to be there.
No one is missing this if they can help it.
I just remember Clyde taking me when I first got with the Rockets in Kobe's first or second year. And even then, Kobe had such, and it's something that I think gets lost sometimes with some of the younger generation now getting in the league. But the fact that he was like Charles always said, which is you got to always respect and pay homage to those that came before you. And the fact that Clyde could just say, Kobe, come here for a second. Or Calvin Murphy could say the same thing. I saw it happen in both cases. And Kobe would just come over there. Like whatever they wanted, whatever they needed, they got. Because he respected the fact that they paved the way for him. And that's something that I hope continues, but I see getting lost more and more with some of the things that we see with today's superstars and how they treat previous eras. But I mean, I remember Clyde, there was an instance on the court where we had someone that had a media credential that was like literally stalking Kobe, getting too close. This was before the days of security and everything else. And so I told Clyde about it, and I said, I don't want to interrupt him in his routine or anything, but I want to make him aware of it and show him the guy and see what we can do. And he couldn't have been nicer, and he couldn't have been more appreciative. And he was like, I'm so zeroed in and focused on the game, those things aren't going to get to me. I said, but we just want to make sure he doesn't get to you.
Right.
And he was very responsive and very attentive, but very polite. And I thought that was great. But I think that nothing could be more telling than Bill Russell's message that he tweeted about Kobe. At the very end, he said, you were always my biggest fan, but I was yours.
Wow.
Yeah. So to have the respect of Bill Russell like that is pretty big.
Yep.
So.
And other basketball news, don't look now.
Yeah. You're going to get to your prediction.
I'm thinking it's pretty close. They lost last night.
Lost to Denver. Thunder
have won
play.
Five in a row. They do play the Mavericks. Although the Mavs have been struggle bussing it too.
A little bit.
Yeah. 6-4 in their last 10. Rockets 4-6 in theirs. So it's getting close. It's coming down to nut crunching time. Is that a saying? Nut cutting time. I don't know.
Do you cut your nuts before you eat them? It's just a question. I mean, some people, like them in the shell. I don't know.
I just want to.
Okay, Fidel Castro. So, I mean, look, the Rockets, Harden sat out with a thigh injury. Part of me says he was hurt. Part of me said that's just his way to take a day off so that he can try to get out of this slump he's in.
That's what I thought. I thought it was rest.
And maybe some, do you think some, well, they said well beforehand that he was going to take the day off. So it had nothing to do with Kobe.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
It was planned.
It was definitely planned, like you said, at least 24, I think almost 24 hours before the game, they announced that that he would be sitting this out with a thigh issue, a contusion.
Well, let me tell you why my prediction could come true. 3 hours ago, Tim McMahon said Rockets are listing Harden as questionable for the Jazz. Westbrook is out due to rest for his back. And a back-to-back, excuse me. And Clint Capella is doubtful for a heel contusion. No Capella, no Westbrook, maybe no Harden.
The Rockets are dominating.
Maybe no win.
Rockets going to lose. And if the Thunder win, guess who's tied for seventh place?
Guess who's watching that very closely? Mike D'Antoni.
Oh, yeah.
Because as I said to you after the Lakers game.
I'm looking like a genius if this all happens. Y'all ain't going to be able to tell me nothing. Oh.
That hasn't changed.
Boy. I'm going to have shirts made.
Yeah, I just think Mike D'Antoni's days are numbered, regardless.
If it happens.
He could either be the scapegoat, you can call him a scapegoat, and the easiest attempted solution. But it doesn't look good right now for the Rockets, for D'Antoni, for the style of play, for everything, and the most inopportune time for injuries to occur. So we'll see how they bounce back off of that. I'm shocked that with the team playing like this that Westbrook wouldn't play.
Why?
I just think
it's back to backs, and we talked to when I brought it up. Back to backs, Denver, Utah, altitude.
But Barry, what I'm saying is, if your team had won 4 or 5, sit him down.
Mm-hmm.
But if your team's struggling like this, and you know that it could really be impactful in terms of how how the year finishes and your seeding, I'd say you play him. And maybe
Westbrook decision or Rockets decision?
I think it's a Rockets decision. Okay. I really do. I think that they've got these people that they pay a lot of money to do all this thing from. Analyzing their sleep patterns and when they sleep better optimally for getting results to everything else. And they've said, much like they did with Dwight Howard for a long time, we're going to manage the back-to-backs. That's assuming all is well and all good in the neighborhood. But if you're losing like this,
well, I think you've got 3-6 in their last 9.
You've got to make some exceptions.
Yeah, you might want to have him. Might want to have your second-best player on the court, if possible.
Look. I love Mike D'Antoni. I think he's a good person. But look, he had a good run. He had a great career.
You're already calling it?
He coached Steve Nash, Shaq, James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
You're calling his career?
Dwight Howard.
I'm not saying that he won't. I'm not saying he'll get fired, and I'm not saying he won't ever get another job. But I'm just saying if it ended now, it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world.
For him.
They have the Rockets.
He's lame
have,
duck. After winning a franchise record 65 wins 2 years ago and doing at least getting as far as they did without the hamstring issue a year ago, you would think that at least if you're going to let him go, at least he'd have a soft cushion to land on. But Tillman made very clear he wasn't going to do that. So if he's gone, he's gone. And he's got nothing to fall back on. So you're right. He's probably done.
Rockets have Dallas, Sacramento. I'm sorry.
Portland.
The Thunder have Dallas, Sacramento, and Phoenix to close out the month. Rockets have Utah, Portland, Dallas.
Nice knowing you, D'Antoni.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's one that's going to be.
I'm just kidding. I don't know if they're going to really get rid of him. Maybe it's a situation where they wait till the end of the season. Joel doesn't seem that way, but that's fine.
Is there somebody else on staff that you think would do a better job than Mike D'Antoni?
Do you think Elston Turner's going to coach this team to the playoffs in a long playoff run?
I would say no.
Do you think that a guy that's claimed to fame as being Lute Olson, the Arizona coach's grandson, and coached the D-League team to a championship, Matt Braze, is going to be capable of coaching this team?
Hey, he's got more championships than Mike D'Antoni does. So.
You've heard Brent Gunning talk at halftime. Do you think that he's going to talk to the players that way and they're going to listen?
Yes.
And again, who on the outside do you bring in? If you fire him, you do have to basically realize, unless you got someone handpicked to come in on short notice, that your season's over. Because it's going to be hard to win and win big if you're starting from scratch before the All-Star break.
Big facts.
Yeah.
This should put me as head coach.
Oh, yeah.
Get this team.
Well, they eat well.
That's great. Guys, we're going to go out there and we're going to play to the horn. Buzzer, whatever.
Are you kidding me? Nick would be like, we're going to Miami tomorrow. So the bus leaves for the clubs at 3 a.m. If anybody's back in their rooms before 7 a.m., you're in trouble.
Nick, I'd be the coolest coach. Cities like Miami, L.A., we're going 2 days early.
Nick would be fining people for being in their room too early.
Exactly what I mean.
It's 9:30 at night. Why are you in your room? You get out there and you party. That would totally be you.
It would be.
Hey, you guys ready to go get some drinks? You'd be like, Coach, we got a game tomorrow.
Yeah, game shmame. You guys will play better.
You're all cut.
Charles Barkley was a soldier, right?
I mean, I can hang with on this team.
Yeah, I can verify.
You don't have to share any stories, but he's been public about it too.
No, I can verify personal experience. Charles is a warrior of burning it at both ends.
Could you imagine Nick in New Orleans?
Zion! You're having a problem with your knee? Let's go get hammered.
Well, I'd be a terrible influence on poor little Zion.
If he was just with the Rockets on a road trip to New Orleans, He'd be like, can we just play the game on 6th Street? Can we just put a hoop up on one of these buildings on a balcony and just, because I don't want to leave 6th Street.
Put in a good word for me. Do they have like an application process? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, start with Tracy. the bottom line is, too, Nick would go to New Orleans.
I'll put Joel Blake down as my reference. So get the hell out of here.
It was a good run while it lasted.
Nick will go up to Zion and go, they're worried about how you run and how you walk. Dude, I'm worried about how you drink. I can solve all of this. All right, final segment next. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Yeah.
Hey! Final segment of the show. Usual Suspects. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7.
Let's get this guy triggered.
Don't take much.
Doesn't look like it's going to take much.
Just play some music while I'm trying to tell a joke.
I endorse Reply All People. I think they're fantastic.
Just bring 12 items to the 10 items or less checkout line and watch Barry have a heart attack.
How about use your speakerphone in public? Yeah.
That happened.
That'll do it.
I saw that the other day and I thought about you.
You did?
It was so loud in the bagel shop, but he continued to speak into the speakerphone.
Annoying.
And everybody in the bagel shop, it's not that big. It's kind of like an old school bagel shop, heard the conversation.
And wanted to see, that's what I'm telling you. Here's what you do next time. This is a public service announcement for just not just you two, but everyone listening. I did that, like I said, it happened at Chick-fil-A. I'm sitting there eating. Guys FaceTiming with somebody, some chick, and they're she's on speaker, they're talking, whole conversation in a public place. So as he's talking, I go, hey. He goes, huh? I said, tell her I said what's up. He goes, what? I said, tell her I said what's up. Tell her I said hello. He goes, what are you talking about? I was like, well, if I got to listen to the conversation, I might as well be able to get in the conversation. Tell her I said what's up. How's she doing? He was like, whatever, dude. And he walked off. I mean, like, if I've got to be in it, let me be in it.
So do you do this when you're out in the public with your wife?
This is why my wife won't go anywhere with me.
She's smart because you are going to get in a fight.
You're going
to, She won't go anywhere with me because I'll do that. Like, if we're in line at the grocery store, somebody's on their phone, I'll be like, hey, do they know that you're buying roses for somebody else? Like, I'll just get in there. I'll be like, let's have some talks.
You're going to get in a fight.
Let me in on this.
My wife's hilarious.
Like, you are such an idiot. I'm like, well, it's rude. It's just rude. And yes, it triggers me. And it don't take much.
That's funny.
By the way, excuse me, there are people texting about stuff we talked about in the first 2 hours. Obviously, there's a lot that we covered in the first 2 hours. So, RW, we did cover the changing of the logo and whatnot. People were asking about other stuff like, did you guys see these? You know, did you talk about this? We ran the gamut of stories surrounding the death of Kobe Bryant. So highly recommend if you just tuned in the 3 o'clock hour to go back and catch the first couple of hours. Demetrius had a good point. He said, do you think there will even be games on the day of the funeral? I think that they will probably schedule the funeral.
Like on a Thursday when there's just the TNT doubleheader and the rest of the league is off so that guys that want to go can, that still play in the league.
Yep.
That the Lakers, people have asked, when do the Lakers play next? Wow. Tomorrow night at home against the Clippers. Mm. So you're going to have all of L.A. on the eyes of that building.
Yeah, that game is not going to be canceled.
And they're coming off their Grammys road trip.
Yep.
So they've been away for a while. And it's going to be a media circus. You're going to hear from, a ton of players for the first time, including probably LeBron will speak. Mm-hmm. Tickets right now. According to Shahan Ahmed, StubHub says it's donating 100% of the fees for tomorrow night's Lakers-Clippers game to the Kobe and Vanessa Bryant Foundation. Currently, the cheapest ticket to get in the building before taxes and fees, $989.
Wow. Oh, cool. People are profiting off of it. That's great.
Well, StubHub's going to actually donate
all
the
fees.
Yeah, well, the people that are selling their tickets are like, well, I don't want to go. Well, I might as well make some money off of it.
Okay. Well, if that's their goal, that's not nice.
Yeah.
That came from the not nice department.
Yeah. That's great.
If you have a legitimate reason why you can't make the game,
sure.
Okay.
But let's price gouge. That's always awesome.
By the way, because
those are the same people that if there was an earthquake in LA and then someone raised gas prices.
Like these punks over here down the street.
They would be like, you're price gouging me. Why are you raising prices? You probably deserve it, you jerk. You're that kind of person.
Did you happen to see, too, because I mentioned earlier about Jason Williams, J. Will, saying that, look, the S isn't worth all that, and you need to make amends if you have, you know, bad blood with somebody because it's not worth it. Did you see who took him out up on it? Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins sent a tweet to KD to squash it because he loves him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I dig it.
Yeah. So I dig it.
Life's too short, right?
I would agree with that.
Well, I got a lot of text to send. I am one grudge-holding son of a bitch.
And I don't think Nick and I are going to get the first wave.
Let me tell you what. I am all world at holding a grudge. Ask AJ.
First of all, bro,
why are you like that?
Ask me.
Like, life's too short. I'm like, nah, I don't know. I'm just really good at holding a grudge. I'm the kind of guy where once I hate you, it's over. Like, I'm just not going to, we're not going back. And it takes a lot for me to hate you, but once I hate you, it's done. But I recognize it as a character flaw. I need to learn how to be more forgiving. It's just not going to happen this year because I got a lot of other stuff I got to get done. But I do recognize it. I need to be better at it, though. I really do.
Perk's actual tweet to KD was, just wanted to tell you I love you, my brother, and whatever I did to hurt you, I'm sorry, bro, and I hope you forgive me. I love you, bro. Real talk at KD Trey5.
Somebody says time to forgive. Mike, not happening.
Oh, come on,
not
man.
Happening. No, I don't forgive racists. I'm not. That's did, one. That's
did
one
he
group
send
of people.
That or did you?
Don't care. No, okay. It was in the inbox. It wasn't in the block. Oh, okay. It wasn't in the blocked messages. It was in the inbox. No, I don't. Not happening. Not happening. Now, I will say this about that tweet to KD.
Yeah.
Why not just text that man?
That's a great point. I mean, we talked about that.
But he did it public, though.
Yeah. Why?
But he initially went at him publicly.
Oh, so you're saying he's doing it in public because he went
if
after
he
him in public?
Yeah, Kevin Durant's going to say, well, why'd you text me? You went at me publicly.
True. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
so
a good
he
point.
Should,
fair
he
point.
Should he should apologize publicly if he really wants to, you know.
So someone brought this up, and we're not going to get to it today. We need to get to it tomorrow. But did you guys see the allegations on Mike Fiers come out?
No.
I heard a lot of people trying to verify them, but yeah, I did hear about them.
LFA sent me a bunch of screenshots. Long story short, the allegations are that Mike Fiers was having sexual relations or something along those lines, contact, hanging out, whatever, with underage chicks.
Oh, I hate him so much more if that's true.
If it's true.
We don't know it's true.
But there's a lot of, and I'll have it all, so that's a great, tune in tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and we'll get to it in the first hour, I promise. But Ojefe sent me a lot of screenshots that have since been deleted from text and tweets and IG and everything else, where they were going to blow the lid off of this, and apparently the rumor has been around for a while. We don't know if it's true or not. He may have sent pictures of his naked butt to this chick. Which, by the way, who sends butt pics?
Anthony Weiner.
Butt pics?
Oh, he did everything.
I understand you send D pics, but who's like, hey, here's a picture of my ass. That's weird.
Just
wait, do you,
too
you
much
don't
to,
send you don't send ass pics?
Well, you said I had a flat ass at the party the other
you do.
Day, so I
you
I probably,
said that.
You've been
yeah,
taking
you guys
in front of everybody.
He's been taking.
He makes things awkward.
Were
everywhere.
You still dating at the time,
he's been
or was that like
pills.
Revenge? Was that a revenge?
He's
comment?
Been taking them pills, them no acetals. He's been on them, boy.
He made it. He we were talking about the flash and the camera. You were talking about
what?
What did
that's
you tell
a
those
fact.
Girls? You just made it about
Jake
race.
Asman? We need to talk about what I did to Jake Asman.
Oh, Jake Asman. Oh, they were picking
talk.
On him
yeah,
so bad.
I don't
bad.
Believe that we're going to bring that one up today.
Oh, that was so funny.
Oh, all right, so that'll about do it for Nick, Barry, and myself. We'll be back tomorrow, so hopefully you will too. Every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. It's the usual suspects. But coming up next, it is The Blitz. Fred, AJ, Aaron, right here on ESPN 97.5. Everybody have a great night.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.